Before we get started on today's show, let me tell you about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West there in Oxford. Go in, get a lunch special, $4.99, two sides bread, 32-ounce drink. Stop by for some ribs tonight on the way home. Let them take care of dinner. You also get the Mobile Rewards app, the Mobile Rewards program, the SpeedPass Plus app. Plenty of ways to save money there with the Oxford Exxon. And if you're leaving the basketball game tonight, stop in for a bottomless refilled cup. You buy the stadium cup. After that, just 49 cents every time you come in to get a fountain drink all the way full there with the Oxford Exxon. And also coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio, 662-257-1900. It is in Amory, Mississippi on Highway 25 South. You call Corey, and when you do that, within 15 minutes, you get a quote. Shop it around. Take it. It's going to be the best deal. So when you come back to Corey Clark, and you're finishing up the paperwork, tell him you heard about him on the podcast. He'll knock $500 more off that vehicle from Clark Ford. Now on with the show.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready. Clark Ford Studio mobile again today as Mr. McCready is overcoming a bout of strep throat. I had no desire to be around that, so one more day separated here through the internet. So thanks, Al Gore, for today's podcast as we continue on. We'll tell you, got a lot of stuff up at rebelgrove.com this morning. Neil's mailbag is up. It has questions in a lot of different sports. I contributed a baseball answer a lot there in the mailbag this morning. And then our centerpiece for the day, friend of rebelgrove.com, Pete DeWeese, great football mind. He has a very complex breakdown of Rich Rodriguez, his personnel, his zone read, his passing game. If you read one article about what Rich Rodriguez can bring to the Ole Miss offense, it is this one is up at rebelgrove.com. It's got diagrams, it's got GIFs, and it's got a little over 4,000 words. So read it in time, bookmark it, study it. I'll probably have to study it a little myself because he knows far more about football than I. So head on over to rebelgrove.com, and you'll find out this morning. And then on today's podcast, Gary Parrish, basketball theme this week, Ole Miss and Auburn tonight. From the pavilion, a 6 o'clock tip for that one. And we were pretty close to the line, Neil. It's Auburn minus 2.5 as we get close to tip off tonight.
That's about right. That's about right. You'll hear Gary Parrish. He calls it a coin flip. And so, you know, Auburn's a better basketball team than Ole Miss. And if they played on a neutral floor, Auburn would probably be a 5 or a 6 point favorite. That shows you how much respect, to your point earlier in the week, how much respect the odds makers have for Ole Miss because they're covering every line. So it tells you that the odds makers are not in the mood to lose a bunch of money on an Ole Miss basketball game by making the line too big.
Going to get into some football, some basketball, some other stuff. Let's start here. It's been a topic on the podcast for a long time. Have you seen these photos of John Travolta the last 48 hours or so?
No, I have not. I have not been...
You've been a little occupied the last 2 days. So
yeah, I've not been on the internet much the last 2 days. I've spent a lot of time on my knees worshiping the porcelain god. If you just want to know the truth.
Okay, well I'll help you out here. You always contend that bald people are uglier than people with hair. That is your take. Absolutely
are. If you are bald, it is. You will never achieve max good looks as a bald person because when you are bald, that is all that you are.
Okay, well, you know, John Travolta, you know, Danny Zuko, been a sex symbol for a really long time. Pick your character for John Travolta. First, I'm going to send you a picture of John Travolta from...
Who is Danny Zuko?
Grease.
Oh, okay. Got
his character in Grease.
I got it.
Urban Cowboy, if you desire, Saturday Night Fever, take your pick, whatever.
Good. All right.
All right, sure. Point being, I'm going to send you first on Messenger. I assume you have Messenger up.
Facebook Messenger?
No. Sorry, just your messages, your iMessages.
Yes.
Okay. Here is a recent photo of John Travolta. Okay.
Okay.
You got it. Anybody can follow along at home. I've sent it. It should go through in a second.
There it is.
He was starting to kind of go on top a little bit. Guy that had great hair. I mean, you know.
Now, the photo that you just sent me, if I could have that hair, I would pay. I'd pay a lot of money.
Would you really?
For that hair? He's a lot of hair up top.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's what he did. I'm sending you a link. Open the link or it'll either pop up where you can just see it. Okay?
Okay.
Here's what he did.
Pull up the Instagram. It's John Travolta with a young woman, and he appears to be having a martini, and he has shaved his head.
He is much better looking in the bald picture.
Oh, see, I completely disagree.
See, you have a problem at this point where you just can't even see it. The internet is going crazy talking about how much better he looks in the bald head.
Oh, no, I don't even think it's close. He looks 50 times better with the hair.
Dude, his receding hairline had gotten so bad, he had to shave it. In the other photo.
Now, the picture you sent me, he's wearing a sport coat over a vest over a button.
Yeah, he's at some event or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and he has the facial hair going. And he, see, I can't pull that off either. He looks better with the hair.
You're insane.
No, I'm totally being serious.
That is a much more attractive man bald.
I ain't bald as ugly. I'm flat out saying I think bald men are ugly, and there's nothing they can do about it. Even when they get super fit and they wear great clothes and all that stuff, I still think bald men are ugly. If you have a choice between having hair and not having hair, you should pay whatever it takes to have the hair. unless looks don't matter to you. If looks don't matter to you, don't worry about it. I mean, look, this is cheaper. The look that I have is much cheaper than like the look. I spend a lot less money on hair care products than you do, for example.
Yeah,
but sure. But you know, you go get a haircut. Like, I take Carson to get his haircut every 3 weeks, and it's 20-something bucks. I ain't spent 20-something bucks on a haircut in God forever.
Yeah, I spend 20 bucks at a time. It's 18, and I tip just the $20 bill, or 17. I forget which one.
Yeah.
And then
the only thing I have to do, I have to update my razor probably more frequently than you do.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
You don't want a dull razor on your head.
That's fair.
Those cuts are no fun.
Okay. And then obviously I'm buying shampoo and things. So.
Yeah, I don't need shampoo. I just buy body wash. Body wash does everything.
Okay.
I spend $0 on skincare, and it shows. But I don't have to do anything because once you're bald, you just like screw it. I mean. The only thing being bald does is it really motivates you to try to keep your weight down. Because someone like me, if I get 15 pounds overweight, I start looking like a snowman. Just round.
Well,
round.
Now you're not in the shape probably John Travolta is in either.
Oh, no, no. And I'm not as good looking a man as he is, just period. I mean, he's a significantly better looking human being than I am. Even if you gave us both the exact same hair, but I bet. I mean, looking at his face right here, he's not sculpted. I guarantee you, he's
no. It's
got
not
the man
1980, John Travolta.
No. So I'm saying he's not at his ideal weight. Looking at this photo, he's got some fleshiness in the cheeks and stuff. So he's put some weight on. That's why he's wearing the facial hair right there to cover up some of the face fat.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. No doubt.
Okay. I'm gonna put it on Twitter. We'll follow the results. Which John Travolta is the better looking as we're going on with the day. So people can head on over.
Got to keep in mind, there's a lot of bald men out there, and God bless them. I've learned this about men. It's a funny thing. Men men lie to themselves more than women do. And men will tell themselves, "Oh, I look good. I look good," and they will not back off that. There's a lot of ego involved. Most bald men, if they're being perfectly honest with themselves, in their most private moments, they know it's over.
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm putting it up real quick. Okay,
that's fine.
Hang on.
Take your time.
We're going to go to it for another 10-15 minutes, but preview a little bit of what you talked about with Gary while I'm doing this.
Yeah, we talked about Gary Parrish with 92.9 ESPN FM in Memphis, and also the probably the lead college basketball writer for CBS We talked about his thoughts on Kermit Davis, kind of his thoughts on why it took Kermit so long to get an SEC job. We talked about the game tonight, Auburn and Ole Miss. Gary has seen both teams in person, has watched both teams a lot on television. So we talk about the game tonight. We talk about the league as a whole, how good the league is, why the league got so good, and Gary shares his theory, which I subscribe to 100%, as to who is responsible for why SEC basketball has gotten so good over the last couple of years and why it was a commercial business decision to make it good and why the SEC, as much as individual fans want to get upset about different things or whatever, why the SEC will forever be indebted to Mike Slav.
That's fair. All right, I've hit the button. And for full transparency, my question is mostly for the 4%, but anyone can participate. Which John Travolta is better looking in this article? I linked it, and then I have with hair or bald as the option.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll come back to it here in a little bit.
Okay.
So, one thing I wanted to mention, this is still 2 years away, but I just forgot to note it as we're kind of running through some stuff, is Ole Miss will play in Arlington when the Rangers get their new ballpark built. That is in 2021. It is going to be a six-team tournament. It is going to be Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas from the SEC. It's going to be Texas, Texas Tech, and TCU from the Big 12. So, kind of like Houston a couple years ago, Ole Miss will be in Dallas, probably the second or third weekend of the 2021 season. Ole Miss also has a road trip up to ECU at some point in the future. And then they are also going to play at Dodger Stadium in a tournament out in L.A. In the next couple years as well. So those are just some quick notes that I needed to point out there on the show today. It is very smart on Dallas's part. It is smart for baseball in general. Pick a bunch of teams that travel. Pick a bunch of teams that like weekends away. Pick some pretty good baseball teams. Put them all in one place. Make a lot of money. Bring some tourists to town and let the fans have a good time while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's a really cool deal, and that's going to be a fantastic ballpark. You know it is. That's a cool thing.
It's a way to get people over there to see the park, basically. There'll be a lot of people that go, hey, it's different, it's new, let's see what's up.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, there's worse places to go party for a weekend than Dallas.
Ole Miss appears to be nearing a sellout tonight for basketball. I will say, it's as much – it's not like football game weekend or anything. Keep this relative. It's as much energy around town for a basketball game as I've seen in a really long time. Everybody's kind of talking about it. Everybody's sort of haggling for tickets and different things. I mean, it's going to be a pretty dang good environment tonight at the Pavilion.
It's the third time since the building opened that there's a demand for tickets. The opener against Alabama, the NIT quarterfinal against Georgia Tech, and this. And I would argue, and I said this with Gary, and he and I agreed, it's the first time, well, it's the second time that it's about basketball, but it's the first time that it's about real basketball. Because the NIT is not real basketball. Because the moment the NIT ends, you're like, whatever, who cares? I mean, if we're all honest. If I give you a quiz, who wins the 2016 NIT championship, you have no idea.
No.
No one knows. No one knows. No one cares. Doesn't matter. It's the moment that tournament's over, it's over. It has no lasting legacy. No one's doing a 30-for-30 on the 2017 NIT tournament. It's the biggest basketball game that's been played in that building since it was built. It's the reason that building was built. It ought to be fun. It ought to be. I think Kermit Davis is absolutely fascinated to see what it's like tonight. Look, they have a long way to go. This program, even if Ole Miss wins tonight, okay, the program has not arrived. But tonight's going to be a taste of it for the players, for the coaches, for the fans, of what that building could be like once it gets going. No question about that. And if Ole Miss loses tonight, it's not the end of the freaking world. Relax. It's a night to go have fun, enjoy basketball, cheer for your team. If you win, awesome. If you lose, it's okay. There's no reason to light the message board on fire if they lose. Auburn's really good. Auburn is ahead of Ole Miss as a program right now. Pearl's been there for a little while. He's built this thing. They're very talented. Kermit Davis says it Gary Parrish says it. A lot of people say it. This is an Auburn team that is capable of going to the Final Four. So if they lose in the second round of the NCAA tournament, don't come back and go, you said they were going to the Final Four. No, they're capable of going to the Final Four. They have the pieces that are necessary to make a tournament run. But this is a game Ole Miss can win tonight. It's a game Ole Miss can lose tonight. This league's crazy. Mississippi State went to South Carolina last night and lost. This league is tough. It is hard to win on the road in this league. It's hard to win at home in this league. There's no bad team in this league. This Ole Miss is not going 18-0 in the league. Breaking. You can hold me to that one. If Ole Miss goes 18-0 in the league, we'll come up with some deal for charity and I'll raise a bunch of money. Ole Miss is not going 18-0 in the league. They're going to lose some games. So
Neil will run Big Sur if they go 18-0.
If they go 18-0, I will train and I will run the 2020 Big Sur. And if you have any idea how much I hated that day of my life, you will know that I don't want to ever do that again. But if they, if Ole Miss goes 18-0 in the league, I will run Big Sur 2020 with a I'll run it with a, one of those body cam things, and you can follow along at home and laugh at me for 4.5 to 5 hours.
SEC teams last night went 3-1 at home, the exception to that being the Tennessee Volunteers, who have become a juggernaut in the SEC. They are 13-1, 2-0 in the SEC, following an 87-63 win in Columbia, Missouri last night. The aforementioned South Carolina Gamecocks beat State 87-82 in overtime. And then Kentucky won at home 85-74 against Texas A&M. And LSU held a serve at home against the Alabama Crimson Tide 88-79 in a game that was pretty much scratch when you look at both teams there.
Yeah. it just gets crazy. There's no breather. It's like Gary and I were talking about this. I don't want to steal all his material, but we were kind of looking at the Ole Miss schedule. And it's like the next 8 games for Ole Miss are all top 60 teams in the net. There's just no, and that's good and bad. It's bad in that you don't have it. If you feel sorry for yourself after a loss, you turn one loss into two. And on the other side is if you lose a game, you turn around, the next game's an opportunity. Just win games. Just win games. That's what this thing comes down to. So tonight is, it's an opportunity for Ole Miss. It absolutely is. And Bruce Pearl knows it. He's worried about it. He knows that Kermit's going to have his team ready. Kermit's coached against Bruce Pearl enough to know that Bruce is going to have his team ready. It's going to be a really fun environment. The weather's great. It's a little chilly, but, you know, get a jacket. The arena's going to be full. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about kind of covering a big basketball environment. There are a lot of times, frankly, over the last few years that I've gone to basketball games at the Pavilion and have had to snap myself out of it and go, cover the damn game, Neil. You're going to have to talk about it. You're going to have to write about it. Get off Twitter. Get off your phone. You know, they're playing nobody or they're playing somebody and they're losing by 17 in the first part of the second half. And you're writing stuff and you realize no one's going to read what I'm writing. And you've been there before. No one's going to read this. You think that to yourself because it's basically true. And you just kind of check out. And it's been kind of fun for me to write basketball the last few days because I think some people are actually reading some of it. I put up 2 basketball content items yesterday, which is the first time I've done that in a while.
Well, I mean, it depends on demand. I mean, that's the reason we, you know, do a lot of what we do as well. We know people are going to read this. We know people aren't going to read this. And, yeah, it is officially basketball season right now in Oxford. I think that is necessarily true, if nothing else. So.
Yeah, and it's good. You know, it's good. People, someone posted on the board, and I'm not. He's just excited. He's like, it's baseball season. And it is soon to be baseball season, but it might actually be fun this year for, you know, when the baseball team opens up in February to still have basketball going and for basketball to be relevant. It's been a little while. And that's if that happens, and look, they're not there yet. They're, one win over Vanderbilt doesn't make you relevant in this league yet. Not in this league. But they've played in a way that, they're going to be fun. There's zero doubt in my mind, zero, that Terrence Davis and Brian Tyree and Devontae Shuler are going to be ready to play tonight. And if you watch a little bit of the interview with Blake Henson and you read his quotes in the story that I posted yesterday, he's a really mature freshman. This is not a team that's going to be overwhelmed by the moment. They might be overwhelmed by the talent at times, but they're not going to be overwhelmed by the moment. And this isn't the first big game Kermit's coached, but I think this is going to be a night that excites that program, whether they win or lose. The fact that there's that many people there, and people are actually there for the basketball, not to see the novelty of the arena, not because it's a faux playoff game, which is what that Georgia Tech game was. I mean, people showed up for that Georgia Tech game because they'd beaten Syracuse and they'd beaten somebody, and there were stakes on the line, but in reality, there was nothing on the line. It was a fake playoff game, and that's what the NIT is. And tonight's a real game. Gary Parrish talks about how if Ole Miss were to win today and win on Saturday at Mississippi State, now that's a tall order to win those two games, but that if they did, they would be nationally ranked. And if you had told me in October that we would even be discussing on January the 9th the prospect of Ole Miss being nationally ranked in men's college basketball this year, Chase, I would have said you are out of your mind.
No, tonight's a tipping off point. It's something that should excite everybody for the era. It shows, I think, what's coming as the not really even this season, just in the future in general. So, yeah, just enjoy it. I think that's the advice for any of the Ole Miss fans right now is just come in, have a good time, and no matter what the final score says at the end of the thing, you're way ahead of schedule and you're in the conversation more than you thought you'd ever be. You're going to have one more big opportunity on Saturday and then another one the next Wednesday and so on and so forth.
Yep. Another one on Tuesday. Yeah. LSU comes to town on Tuesday with a really talented team. And, you know, it's one after the other. Arkansas comes in next Saturday with a lottery pick. I mean, this is a fun league. It really is. This is a good basketball league. There is no cakewalk in the league. There is, with the possible exception of Texas A&M, there's a chance they tank. There's a chance they just go off the reservation.
That was in Lexington last night, though, right?
It was, yeah. But they have some issues. Frank Martin is one of the best coaches in the country. It's one of the other things that we talked about. And when you stop and you go down the list of who the coaches are in this league, man, it's a pretty stacked roster. You ever done it? Think about it for a minute. It is a loaded league in terms of coaches. There's no – there might be one or two rough spots. There aren't many. I mean, not when you stop and break down resumes. I mean, you've got Calipari, obviously, and you've got Frank Martin took South Carolina to the Final Four. He did. I saw it. Will Wade at LSU is considered one of the top recruiters in the country. But he is, and they have talent. Avery Johnson was a high-level NBA coach at one point. Bruce Pearl's won big at a number of places. Kermit Davis is clearly one of the best X and O coaches in the country. No question about it when you watch him coach night in and night out. He's phenomenal. Just the list goes on and on. Bryce Drew's a very good recruiter. He had Scottie Pippen's kid in at Vanderbilt the other day, and they have a hell of a shot to get him. You know, there's just no dead weight in the league. There's just none, really. There's Konzo Martin has won at other places. He's at Missouri now. It's just a really good league. Brick Barnes won big at Texas. Is now winning. Is on the cusp of winning really big at Tennessee. It's a strong league. It's one of those deals where, quite frankly, like early in the season when Ole Miss was advertising some of those ticket deals, there were some. I kind of wanted to sometimes tell people if you like basketball, this is the time. Even if you're not. Like, I tell Carson all the time, you ought to go to the games, and he doesn't want to go. But I'm like, you ought to go there. You're going to see NBA players at the games. The league has gotten significantly better.
Yeah. Let's go to Gary Parrish in a second on the Pedersen and Earhart Hotline. Boy, did I tell you about G&M Pharmacy? Don't waste your time at the big chains. Go somewhere where you're appreciated. G&M is locally owned and operated, and they care about their customers. They've been Oxford's trusted hometown pharmacy for 40 years now, for many great services such as MedSync, immunizations, free delivery to your home or workplace, and they're conveniently located right off South Lamar Boulevard there in Oxford. Transferring your medications is simple. I've done it. You give them a call, 662-236-2222, and that's where they take care of the rest.
Gary Parrish is about to join us on the Patterson and Earhart hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. When you contact Patterson and Earhart, you speak directly to one of the partners in the firm, and that's who will handle your case, not some paralegal at a faceless corporate firm. If Patterson and Earhart can't help you, they'll refer you to someone who can. John Calvin Patterson and Wes Earhart are Ole Miss guys. They're local guys. And when you call them, you're going to get one of them on the phone within the same day, guaranteed. So whether you've been injured in a car wreck or have other legal issues, give them a call, 662-526-1992, or check out their website, pelaws.com. That's P as in Patterson, E as in Earhart, laws.com. Your initial consultation is free. We're also brought to you by Home to Suites. Home to Suites Oxford is now open and ready to accommodate you in 2019. If you're coming to Oxford tonight or Tuesday night or next weekend for Rebel Hoops at the Pavilion, Home to Suites is conveniently located 1 mile from campus, just off the old Taylor Road exit. They're offering a 20% discounted rate the entire week of pop-up Oxford, which Chase will tell you about a little later. That's January the 19th through the 26th. Now, you have to call the front desk to receive that discount when you're booking. You can bring your pets. They're pet-friendly, have a designated area for walks, complete with a pet station for your convenience. So be sure to visit them on social media, and you don't want to miss their announcement of when football weekend reservations will open. And when you head up to Oxford, you'll want to head up in style. So you need to experience the difference a quality sock makes. It's the first step in dressing for the job you want, not the job you have. Go to deadsoxy.com. Hey, I did it right. And enter the code REBELGROVE at checkout to receive 25% off all orders, including sale items. So remember, enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout for 25% off all orders. And Happy New Year from Dead Soxy. My post-game column tonight and this podcast are sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust, based in Madison, Mississippi. It represents clients in 24 states and has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. Regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners do not do that. Pinnacle Trust does. They build a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's pinntrust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, you'll get 10% off your first year's fee.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com. Now here's Gary Parrish on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Gary, thanks so much for the time. As I was saying before we got started, it's been a while since really we could talk basketball as much as we've talked it here on the podcast the last few days. You've seen Ole Miss in person. You were and you've watched them on TV some. You were pretty effusive in your praise on Twitter, I guess, on Saturday night after Ole Miss won at Vanderbilt. Just in general, overall overreaching thoughts after just 13 games, which is a very small sample size. What have you kind of thought about this Ole Miss team under Kermit Davis?
What's funny, I was a sideline reporter on the Ole Miss Middle Tennessee game a few weeks ago at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, and I was talking with Kermit before the game, and one of the first things he said was, we exchanged, the normal greetings, and then I was like, hey, you guys look pretty good so far this season. And the first thing he said was, I've got good guards. Like, it's just a great place to start. I've got really good guards. And that obviously starts with Brian Tyree, who's, been terrific, 18 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 3.2 assists, shooting 43% from 3-point range. And, when you combine good guards with a great coach, this is what you get. And I'm not promising you or even predicting that Ole Miss is going to finish in the top 4 of the SEC. I don't even know if they'll be in the top 8 of the SEC. You know, there's a lot of good teams in this league, but they opened the season 97th at KenPom. They're 41st right now, and they're quite obviously going to finish, I think, significantly better than they were projected to finish in the league. And I think it's a testament to the guy that Ole Miss hired. I thought when that job opened, and it looked like it was going to open for weeks in advance of it actually becoming official, I thought that there were two guys that made a lot of sense. One was Steve Forbes, the East Tennessee coach, East Tennessee State coach, and the other one was Kermit Davis, because both of those guys would have been great fits. And Kermit had a pretty good recent track record of beating, you know, SEC schools with, you know, Middle Tennessee players. And the fact that he's already doing that type of thing again, with a roster inherited, which should be a roster that's upgraded in years going forward. I just thought, on a very basic level, if you give a guy who can beat SEC schools with Middle Tennessee players, SEC players, then what's he going to be able to accomplish? And so far, that's looking to be a pretty smart thing. And I don't mean like a smart thing, because that opinion was not unique to me. But whether it's Ross Bjork or anybody else in the administration, they identified the right guy for the job, and they're reaping the benefits of that right now.
Yeah, you know, I always knew he was a good coach. I mean, I'd watched him from afar, and I'd covered Ole Miss middle games, and I'd seen him coach, and you knew he was really good, and that 1-3-1 zone of his gave teams fits and all of that stuff. But, man, he's a better coach than I thought he was, and I thought he was a really good coach. He's fun to watch. It really makes you wonder how it took him so long to get to an SEC-level program. I mean, I look back on it now and think, man, a lot of teams passed on this guy, and that was probably a mistake.
I would think definitely a mistake. The truth is that he's a pretty understated guy. You know, he's in this sport, you know, people love the younger, shiny, you know, the next Shaka Smart, Brad Stevens, Archie Miller. And, you know, Kermit's 59 years old. And this is also true. You know, his last few years at Middle Tennessee were tremendous, but he didn't coach in his first NCAA tournament until 2013. And so the best path to a Power 5 job, and this doesn't make any sense, but it's just the way the sport operates. Like, you have to get into the NCAA tournament and show yourself to the world. Otherwise, you're just operating almost completely off of the national radar. And it took Kermit a pretty good while to get there. And by the time he got there, and I say this with all due respect, he was an older coach. And older coaches don't tend to be the same type of candidates that the next hot young thing is. And so I think it finally took a place like Ole Miss just saying, you know what, let's just get the best basketball coach we can get. We don't care if he's almost 60 years old. We don't care if he's not the coaching candidate that's most likely to become a star under the age of 40. We just want somebody who can do this job well. And so they just went out and hired a guy who could do the job well, and he's doing the job brilliantly so far.
I know I was filling in for your show when you were out in Hawaii. You came on a couple of times right before you were going to go watch Auburn and Duke, I believe, if I recall correctly. It feels like months ago, and it wasn't that long ago, but you've seen Auburn in person. I know you've seen them on TV. What do you think of them, and just kind of your early thoughts on this matchup Wednesday night in Oxford between the Tigers and the Rebels?
I think it's a total coin flip game, because I'm actually unfamiliar with how fans are responding to Kermit's program. Like, are they filling up the pavilion, or
yeah,
at least
it's going to be packed. Yeah. It's going to be packed. They, okay. they've completely bought in. I mean, the team's bought in, the fans have bought in. It ought to be. I was saying this on Tuesday's podcast, Gary. I think that you know, that arena's been open what now, a little over 2 years, and I think it's going to be the first time was Ole Miss played Georgia Tech in an NIT quarterfinal game, and it was packed, and it was packed because of the basketball. You know, it's a really nice arena. They did a great job on it. There's a lot of creature comforts, a lot of amenities. And so a lot of times you see people go to games, but they're kind of at the game and the basketball's kind of a secondary thing. They're hanging out at the food court and they're talking to their friends and all that stuff. And I'm not making fun of that. That's cool. You do what you want to do. But I think
they built it. They built it that way by design.
Yeah. Yeah,
they
sure.
Understood. They understood that's what they needed to do. Like, you know, basketball at Ole Miss historically has never been the focus of anything. So, the goal was to let's build a facility that, yeah, basketball fans, the hardcores are going to be here, but we can also draw folks who might not care about the basketball, but just might care about being here in this place. And so they built it that way by design, I thought brilliantly. And it is. And now when you have basketball as a real draw, then you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I think Wednesday night when people hear, we're taping this on Tuesday, when people hear it on Wednesday, I think tonight it's going to be packed, and it's the first time really since that Georgia Tech game and maybe really ever that it's packed because people are there to see a basketball game against a high-level opponent where they think Ole Miss has a chance to win.
Yeah, that's good to hear because, it should be packed. You know, I'm not the type of person to tell people what they should do with their free time. You know, I don't spend every moment of my free time going to basketball games or football games or anything else, and I actually – am somebody who would prefer to watch it on television in the comfort of my own home than actually go to an arena. That might be a byproduct of my job and the fact that I've, you know, for 20 years now been just living in arenas, but sure. I'd rather be on my couch than in an arena. So I don't tell people you ought to go to this game, but it's nice that they are going to and that they're going to support this program because the university's invested, like a whole bunch of SEC schools. They've invested in the sport of men's basketball, and they've done it in a variety of ways, with facilities, but then with the basketball coach. And now they've got a quality basketball program, and you've got the co-reigning SEC champions coming in, coached by, a real, figure within the sport in Bruce Pearl, and you don't have to really play out of your minds to beat them. To me, that's the most remarkable thing. You know, Ole Miss is going to play a nationally ranked Auburn team, and you can reasonably expect, if you're an Ole Miss fan, that you're going to walk out of there watching Ole Miss win the game. I don't know that Ole Miss will, but I can't imagine the point spread is going to be any more than 2, 3, 4 points, and that means that you've got a real shot to not only beat Auburn, but beat Auburn and move to 12-2 on the season, 2-0 in the SEC, with a game at Mississippi State on deck. And so, obviously, the Marshall Henderson years were fun, and there's been other times, where Ole Miss had a good, on the court product. But this is not, Ole Miss fans don't get to experience this year after year after year, or at least they have it in the past. Perhaps they will going forward. But this is a pretty, neat opportunity to be able to play your first SEC home game of the season when you're sitting here with an 11-2 record. And by the way, you beat Auburn and go to 12-2, and then you'll be an underdog at Mississippi State. But if somehow you go down there and win that one, you'll be nationally ranked probably, this time next week. And so I don't know that they are going to go 2-0 this week. I would actually say 1-1 this week would be a tremendous situation. Like, you'd take it blindly if you could.
Sure.
But if they go 2-0 this week, they're going to be 13-2 and ranked in the AP poll on Monday, and that's a pretty awesome deal.
If I told you the basketball gods came down and they told me, hey, Ole Miss wins Wednesday night, and I told you that, what would you guess? How did it happen? Is it guard play? Just this, Ole Miss's guards just win the game, or – What's the path to a win?
Yeah, I think it would start with the guards, and it would start on offense. I mean, they're significantly better on the offensive end of the court than they are on the defensive end of the court. They had the 24th best adjusted offensive efficiency rating in the country. They're right around 90th or so, in terms of defensive efficiency. So it probably comes from the guards, and it would probably come from the three-point line. They don't shoot a lot of threes relative to twos, but they do shoot a good percentage from three, right around 38-39%. And so I think we saw it in the college football game on Monday night. and it's even more true in college basketball. The cliche is defense wins championships, but in reality, it is offense. And that's been the case for a while in college basketball. So I think if Ole Miss is going to beat Auburn, you know, Auburn's going to get, you know, Auburn's good. Like, I've seen them in person. They're good offensively as well. So you're not going to be able to beat them probably, you know, in the 50s or even low 60s. You're going to have to score. And so if Ole Miss wins, I think it'll be because Ole Miss gets up, you know, in the mid to high 70s or even low 80s and just beats them on the offensive end of the court.
Let's take a break in our talk with Gary to tell you about Blow Dry Bar Oxford. That's 662-638-3310. If you'd like to give them a call, the Blow Dry Bar at gmail.com. If you'd like to send them an email, it's 1801 Jackson Avenue there in Oxford, Tuesday to Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 3. I'm going to go in. You take care of your significant other, the female in your life. You get a gift card. When you get that gift card, you tell them about the podcast, tell them about RebelGrove.com. You'll get a discount for that, whether it's a blowout, spray tans, keratin treatments, and much more. You're both coming to Oxford. Let her have a little bit of a day for herself if you so choose. And if you're a member of the 4%, head on in. They'll take care of you there at Blow Dry Bar Oxford. Again, that's on Jackson Avenue, and it's 662-638-3310.
My mailbag is up on rebelgrove.com. It's sponsored by the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul. Visit Soul Spots, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. And then tonight, if you can't make it up to Oxford and you're in the Jackson area, you ought to go over to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. They'll turn the ballgame on for you. Have a creative craft cocktail. Enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight. That's at the Westin Jackson. The podcast also brought to you in part by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. So one of your fellow listeners, your fellow subscribers, hopefully you're all subscribing, all 40-something thousand of you. That would be awesome. You want to give me a Christmas present? Subscribe. One of your fellow listeners called John yesterday and is well on his way to a trip this summer to the Florida Keys. And he was smart. Called John, gave him a budget, gave him an idea of what he wanted to do, and John went right to work. Within 10 minutes, John was at work on his trip, and he came up with stuff already that the listener or me or Chase or someone would never find on the internet because we wouldn't know where to look. And we're not part of Virtuoso. John is. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. So one of your fellow listeners and call him, give him ideas, give him parameters, give him a budget, and he'll do the rest, and you will be pleased. And you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. It's 901-494-3387. Excuse me, or jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast.
MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, been telling you about them for a long time now, 662-607-7773. Whether you'd like to entertain your kids for years to come with simple forts, princess castles, or pirate ships, MasterCuts can build a base for your child's imagination to run wild. Reach out and schedule a free meeting to see what MasterCuts can build for you. That's info@gomastercuts.com or 662-607-7773. If you'd like to just talk about contracts for the coming year, they'll take care of you, lawn and landscape, for all of 2019. Now back to Gary Parrish.
You've seen a lot of the league. You were one of the first people that I saw. It's kind of – and look, everybody respects Tennessee, and everybody thinks Tennessee's a real competitor. You're one of the very first people that I saw, at least nationally, who said this is a championship-caliber team. You've seen Tennessee some – this season. I know you've got them ranked, I think, number one in your poll. How good is this Tennessee team, and is it good enough? I know in the tournament's crazy and it's all matchups and stuff, but all things being even, is this a Tennessee team that could go the distance?
Yes, and I think all you need to point to make that case is that everybody believes Kansas is good enough to win the national championship, and they've already beaten Kansas. And everybody believes Gonzaga is good enough to win the national championship. I mean, they lost to Kansas in overtime, I should say. But they took them to overtime. 40 minutes, the score was tied. And everybody thinks Gonzaga can win the national championship, and they've already beaten Gonzaga. And everybody thinks Duke can win the national championship, and Gonzaga beat Duke. Tennessee beat Gonzaga. So they play games against the types of teams that they're going to have to compete with to win a national championship, and they perform well in those games. They're 1-1 against Kansas and Gonzaga, with the loss coming in overtime. And it really is a remarkable deal, because I've never had the energy or time to research this, but you can just trust that it's what we're watching right now is very rare. And what I mean by that is this: there's not a single top 100 high school prospect on the Tennessee roster. Not one. And there have been teams in college basketball that have been good without a single top 100 prospect, but they almost always come from mid-major leagues. The idea that you would win an SEC regular season title last season, a Power 5 title, without a zero top 100 prospect is like insane. It just does not happen often. I'm not sure it's happened ever.
I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. I can't come up with an example of a team doing that, because usually the teams that win the Power 5 leagues, they have a couple of these five-star kids that everybody wanted.
Well, you look right now. Okay, so who's the best team in the ACC?
Duke.
Either Duke or Virginia, probably.
Yeah.
They both got top 100 players, obviously. Who's the best in the Big Ten? It's either Michigan State or Michigan. They both got top 100 players. Throughout the, I don't know who's going to win the Pac-12, because all the teams are not good. But, anybody who's going to win it is going to have top 100 prospects on the roster. Big 12, is it Kansas? Maybe. I mean, Kansas won 14 straight.
Iowa State might be in that mix. I don't know whether they have a top 100 player or not, but
they do. Mario Shayok would be a top 100 player. So basically, if you're going to be good in a Power 5 league, you're going to have top 100 prospects on your roster, at least one. Tennessee's got zero, and they won the league title last season with Auburn, and I think they're the favorite to win it again this season. And it doesn't mean that they don't have good players, because Grant Williams, terrific. He would be my national player of the year right now. Admiral Schofield is terrific. Lavonte Turner is terrific. But Rick Barnes has done an incredible job of I think, maybe spotting something most others didn't see, but then also developing these players into what they've become. Now, it is not the way I would advise any Power 5 coach to try to build a team. And it's the reason I was patting myself on the back earlier about, thinking Kermit Davis would be great at Ole Miss. Well, this is one I was wrong on. I thought Rick Barnes was a bad hire at Tennessee. And the reason is because at Texas, he late in his tenure, stopped recruiting. Like, they couldn't get players anymore. I did a breakdown one time of top 50 in-state players at Texas, and they were all going somewhere other than Texas. It was like I want to say like 21 of the last 23 had gone to somewhere other than Texas. I mean, that's ultimately why Texas made the coaching change. Not because Rick wasn't still winning, because he was, but he wasn't recruiting at a level that gave them any realistic hope of being great. And then at Tennessee, he hasn't recruited well. Now, he got a commitment from a five-star player in the class of 2019, so he's got a good recruit on the way. But in his first few years at Tennessee, they have not recruited well, and yet it hasn't mattered. This is a really unique situation, and I think because he's won so much that now recruiting is going to pick up. But my basic premise of why I wouldn't have hired Rick Barnes at Tennessee was because I didn't think he'd be able to recruit well, and he hasn't been able to recruit well. But he's still got a top five team, and I think absolutely a national championship contender. It's a story that probably doesn't get enough attention in the sport.
Yeah, it's really remarkable when you think about it. All right, so Ole Miss the next couple of weeks, they're going to see Mississippi State, as we talked about, on Saturday in Starkville. They get LSU coming in here sometime next week. I think it's Tuesday, maybe Wednesday. I don't know. They've got Arkansas coming in as well. I know Arkansas is probably not a tournament team, but Mississippi State certainly is. LSU probably is. How good is the SEC this year as it compares to last season when the league got, what, 8 bids?
I think it's great, and it's a byproduct of the schools doing exactly what Ole Miss did, which is investing in men's basketball. I've told this story many times. It's possible I've told it to you before. But before Mike Slive left his position as commissioner of the SEC, while he was launching the SEC network, one of the things he instructed the administrations throughout his league to do was invest in men's basketball. Basically, if you have the right people in place, give them all the resources they need to be successful. If you don't have the right people in place, fire them, go hire the right people, and then give them all of the resources they need to be successful. And his motivation was, again, the SEC network. You can only put so many football games on that channel because there's only so many football games. But the best inventory that the SEC network was going to have for quality programming was going to be men's basketball, because it's a sport people care about and there's a whole bunch of games. So it was basically an order. Get your men's basketball as good as you can get it. And if you're at a certain place, that's not going to be as good as Kentucky, but get it as good as you can get it so that we have quality programming on that channel throughout the months of November, December, January, February, and March. And so Tennessee goes out and hires, you know, a guy who accomplished a whole bunch at Texas. You know, Ole Miss goes out and builds a facility and then invests in the coaching staff. Or they get a guy who had accomplished a lot at Middle Tennessee. You know, Alabama hires a former NBA coach of the year. South Carolina takes Kansas State's coach. You know, Auburn brings Bruce Pearl back into the league. Mississippi State goes and hires somebody who had made three Final Fours and in his last year at UCLA actually won the Pac-12 title outright. LSU takes VCU's coach, which is, since Shaka Smart, not been an easy thing for people to do, to try to take VCU's coach. Missouri goes out and hires a guy who at Cal enrolled a top 10 recruiting class. Florida, you know, gets a guy who's got a great reputation within the sport and Michael White to replace Billy Donovan. Vanderbilt goes out and hires a guy who's turned down Power 5 jobs before he took the Vandy job in Bryce Drew. Georgia goes out and, redoes its arena, but also hires a former Final Four coach in Tom Crean. So you got a league that invested in facilities, invested in coaches, invested in recruiting budgets, changed the way that they travel, and this was always going to be the result. I wrote a story at this point, it's probably 3 or 4 years ago, sort of detailing in all the ways that SEC schools had invested and predicting that the byproduct was eventually going to be a tremendous basketball league. Like, yeah, the SEC is always going to be great at football, but they're about to be really good at men's basketball. And I'll be honest, it took a little longer than I thought, but here we are. They're reaping the benefits of investing in the sport of men's basketball. And you can see it, you know, up and down the league and up and down any league member schedule, because you were running through it just a second ago. Auburn, you know, then Mississippi State, then LSU next Tuesday, then Arkansas. You know, basically Ole Miss is next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games to be against top 60 KenPom teams, which is basically means you're in the conversation for an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. So you're exactly right. I don't think Arkansas is going to get there. Alabama might not get there. But the next 8 teams on Ole Miss's schedule are all possible NCAA tournament teams, and that's not unique to Ole Miss. Obviously, everybody in the SEC is dealing with this season. It makes for a fun schedule and a bit of a nightmare for the coaches.
Yeah, you make a great point. People get hung up if you're an SEC fan. You get hung up on the politics inside the league and stuff. But, man, Mike Slive was a titan. Mike Slive did more for the SEC in his tenure, and maybe I'm missing somebody, but than any person in the history of the league has done.
I don't think that's an argument that anybody could make against. He was tremendous. I knew Mike for a long time, because when I was a young reporter, he was the commissioner of Conference USA. I was a Memphis beat writer. And so I dealt with him back then and obviously maintained a relationship with him throughout his time at the SEC and then through the end of his life. I don't want to say the SEC wouldn't be what it is if not for Mike Slive, but because the SEC would be great regardless of the commissioner, given the member institutions. But I do think that he took it to a place that it he ran it as well as anybody could run it. I'll keep it simple and keep it that way. He ran that league as well as anybody could run it. And I don't want to say that he Greg Sankey's not doing a good job, because Greg is. But Mike took it to this place, and what we're seeing in men's basketball right now is I think a direct result of some of Mike's final orders to his member institutions. Do what you have to do to be great at men's basketball, because we need, for the SEC network mostly, but just in general, we need men's basketball to be operating at a high level.
Well, Gary, I know you're really busy. I appreciate the time so much, and hope I get to visit with you again soon.
Hey, my pleasure, buddy. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Thanks to Gary for joining us today. I will tell you, for another time this week, I've been telling you about it for a while, Scripted Jewelry, scriptedjewelry.com. Just go to the website. That's all you have to do. When you go to the website at Scripted Jewelry, you'll understand what they do. You'll understand the quality, the care that's put into that website. They handcraft to order. Turnaround times are excellent. Again, Jimmy the Elf used it over Christmas. You can get your handwriting on pieces of jewelry. You can get fingerprints. You really develop great gifts and keepsakes there with Scripted Jewelry. So let them take care of you. They have great customer service, and they'll turn it around quickly for whatever occasion you see fit. Again, that is scriptedjewelry.com. And when you get on there, use the coupon code REBELS10, REBELS10, for a 10% discount with your order.
Jimmy did that all the way from the North Pole at Christmas time.
Hey, the internet works everywhere. I've already thanked Al Gore once today. I can do it again.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. An elf at the North Pole turned that around as fast as he did. It's incredible. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that's the place to go. They've got complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans, and if they don't have it on their lot and they have it on their website, they'll find it and get it on the lot, and they'll do it quickly. I've done that too. Gene and Sandy are fantastic. Tell them you heard about it at rebelgrove.com. Tell them you heard about it on the Oxford Exxon podcast. And they'll take extra care of you. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. Harry has been in Oxford for more than 40 years. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry does. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's HarryAlexander.com. What you do is click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab up at the top left, filter through by what you're looking for, and then send him an email. He'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com. Fresh off an SEC road victory over Vanderbilt, the 11-2 Ole Miss men's hoops team returns to the pavilion tonight. They host number 12 Auburn at 6 p.m. You should go early. And if you do, you'll receive an Ole Miss basketball replica jersey. The first 1,000 fans will get an Ole Miss basketball replica jersey. Limited tickets remain and can be purchased by visiting OleMissTix.com. If what I've heard is correct, this is not part of the ad read. I'm just telling you because I'm trying to be your friend. You should probably go to OleMissTix.com pretty quickly. I'm not sure by the end of the day how many tickets are going to be available, just from basing on things I've heard.
Yeah, it looks like it's filling up.
Yeah, Ole Miss baseball season is right around the corner. Season tickets start at just $150 to purchase. Visit OleMissTix.com. And the Ole Miss women's hoops team is back in action on Thursday night, 7 p.m., as they take on LSU. Tickets can be purchased, as you probably can guess where this is going, by visiting OleMissTix.com.
You mentioned the Ole Miss baseball team. They will have Meet the Rebels Day for the Ole Miss-Iowa State basketball game. They'll be there in the pavilion. That's a part of Pop-Up Oxford that Neil mentioned earlier, the third annual Pop-Up Oxford. It goes January 19th to January 27th with hotel hop, Ole Miss basketball, songwriters competitions, community reading, and much more. And you've got the art crawl, the Bitter and Bites, the thing that Neil and I were kind of interested in. That's Tuesday, January 22nd. That's going to be a cocktail class with tastings, that and much more during Pop-Up Oxford.
I want in.
You want in on that one? That's
yes.
The one?
Yes.
Okay. We probably know a guy, so we probably can make that happen. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, I think we should pull some connections there.
Okay.
I mean, we don't do that a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, there's a few things that are more right up my alley than that.
Yeah, it is part of it. You can see the full calendar events again, popupoxfordms.com. Yeah, I pulled up the ad for this one here. Let's see. It says Bitter and Bites, the Speakeasy Edition. It is a 6 to 8, and it is a cocktail fundraiser featuring Ivy McClellan of Snack Bar and Joseph Stinchcomb of St. Leo. You're in?
In.
All right.
Says you had me at Joseph Stinchcomb, and I'm in with the others too.
Yeah, God. It says learn the roots of classic speakeasy cocktails with some of Oxford's best bartenders.
In.
All right. We can work on that. January 22nd, 6 to 8 p.m.
Do you see where speaking of award-winning bartenders, do you see where Jonathan Howard is featured in a deal that's on Hulu?
I did not. Is he?
Yeah, it's something similar to that. It's like some of the top restaurateurs in Nashville got together and did something, and they went out to get I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard about it. I've heard it's really good, and they went to get like the best mixologist in Nashville to show them how to do drinks and stuff, and I think it is Jonathan.
There you go.
No shot.
No, he, you know, kind of like Pete did with the football thing. Jonathan kind of does that with alcohol, where I just kind of look at him and go, yeah, I'm an idiot. Okay.
Oh, yeah, of course. People, this deal, and it's up right now, Study Hall, Rich Rodriguez, and the concepts that have built his reputation by Pete DeWeese. Chase did a lot of legwork on this. This is why, and you and I have talked about this before, we'll get people that come back and, how come you guys don't break down X's and O's more? And I always say, this is going to sound like a lazy answer, but it's a true answer. If you don't work in football, you don't really know. Now, there are exceptions to this. Like Dylan is somewhat of an exception. Jeffrey is somewhat of an exception. But if you don't really work in football, you don't really know precisely what you're watching, and you can make an idiot of yourself quickly. There's a certain life skill to, and I'm pretty good about this. I'll give myself credit. I mean, I called myself ugly earlier in the show because I am, but I'm pretty good at staying in my lane. I've had this fight with coaches before where they're like, I could do your job. And I always say, no, you couldn't. You wouldn't be able to do my job any more than I could do your job. You wouldn't be able to walk right in and go cover a basketball game and produce content as quickly as I can. And as effectively as I can, you couldn't do it any more than I could get your team ready to play. I couldn't do it. So when I watch a football game, we watch the ball. I'm pretty good about watching the first couple of series and just watching the line of scrimmage. But after that, I'm like everybody else. I start watching the ball. These guys, man, they understand concepts, what coaches are trying to do. It's fascinating. This is in depth. You should check it out. It's really cool, but that's why I don't do a lot of X and O breakdowns, is because I would very quickly make a fool of myself.
Appreciate all the people that got the gift cards to Blue Delta for the holiday season, people starting to kind of get their jeans from the promo we ran earlier as well. So, you know, it was a little bit of a wait time just because, hey, they're handcrafted. They are stitched for you. They are made for you. They have your custom measurements, everything involved. It's going to start slowing down here pretty soon. So get in there, get to Blue Delta, and let them take care of some jeans for you. The turnaround time will be quicker. You can get some corduroys like Mr. McCready over there, another pair of denim like me. So do what?
I got my corduroys on.
Did you?
Friday. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. I haven't worn them yet because they look so good that I hate to put them on my body.
You could break them out tonight.
I might wear them tonight. They're awesome, man.
What color did you get?
I got the gray.
Okay. You like gray.
I do like gray.
You're a gray fan.
But these are, they're kind of a light gray, so they're really versatile.
Okay.
And I got the light blue stitching, and I got the little kind of gold accents.
Ah, look at you.
They're fancy, man. They're awesome. I mean, they look awesome.
I mean, you've tried them on, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they fit perfectly, as they always do.
Okay, fair enough. We mentioned some other things. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I knew where I was going. I had it written down. So Ole Miss Athletics going to hold town hall meetings in February. This was mentioned by Ross Bjork when he was on our podcast last semester. Mentioned some other places as well. I'm assuming this is kind of taking place of the Rebel Road Trip. I haven't been told that, but that is just my guess. Again, strictly guess here. Meeting schedule, if you're curious, this is going to be a town hall event. It says, let's see, how is it worded? Let me find it. It says led by Ross Bjork is the way it is worded here. February the 11th, Mississippi Delta, 5:30 to 7. February 12th, Tri-State area, which is like the Corinth area, 5:30 to 7. February 18th, Jackson at the Westin. We always tell you about good choice of location there, 5:30 to 7. February 23rd, Oxford. It's at the Inn at Ole Miss. And that's 12:30 to 2. That's the only one that's not at night. It's a Saturday at 12:30. February 25th, Tupelo, Bancorp South Conference Center, 5:30 to 7. February 26th, Mississippi Gulf Coast in Gulfport, 5 to 7. And then the DeSoto County area is at the Hilton, Memphis, 5:30 to 7. Wrapping up February the 28th.
I know you have some opinions on this.
I do. Look, I'm curious about them. That's the way I'll start. I kind of want to see one, frankly. I kind of want to see how it's kind of how it's implemented. I want to see kind of how the mic setup works. And also just kind of curious if the question's truly asked, because there was a message board post about this that I thought was interesting. There's a lot of people that have really strong opinions, and if it was a one-on-one setting, they would have questions. They're very intimidated by public speaking, very intimidated by getting up in crowds, especially in any kind of, and I don't mean confrontational as in truly confrontational, but you know what I mean, hard questions, things that aren't necessarily pleasing. That's a tough environment to ask some of those in if you're not an attorney or something like that. So I'm kind of curious what the application of this thing is. And it's one of those deals where it sounds really good at the conference table. And I don't mean that rudely. I mean, I'm serious. That's one of those things, those ideas that comes up that sounds great in a brainstorming and kind of a group thinks setting. In implementation, it can go wrong quickly. And with the Ole Miss fan base right now, I understand why it became a topic. But I've talked to a lot of people about this since Ross mentioned it on the podcast a couple months ago, whatever it was. And so I get the same answer. So many Ole Miss fans say, that's all well and good, but it's not changing anything. It's not doing anything. It's not anything that has a tangible benefit to anything. Because Ole Miss fans are at this point. They don't necessarily trust the administration. They just want them to do their jobs. They want them to do their jobs. They want to do their jobs effectively. They want them to make good decisions, and they want them to tell the truth. When they tell them something, tell them the truth. That's it. That is what the Ole Miss fan wants right now, is just do your job every day. Go to work. Do it to the betterment of the university, and when you can't do that anymore, move on and let somebody else do it. It's gotten into an action thing for Ole Miss. It's all about action. Words are not going to fix anything. I'm not sure what Ross can say at these things that will have any impact on what happens or what morale is with the segment that is frustrated. Frankly, the segment that is frustrated probably is not the segment that's going to attend these events. Overall, I just think that in application of these, it is going to be a disappointment versus probably the way it was thought up around a table somewhere.
Yeah. The one thing you said that I really agree on is if you're going to do this, you got to, if someone does stand up and ask that difficult question, give he or she the answer that he or she deserves. Give him or her the answer that he or she deserves would be the proper grammar. Be honest. I think some people want, it's not accountability as much as it's true transparency about what really happened with the NCAA thing. There are a lot of people, as our message board bears this out day in and day out, who are not over it. They're not over it. They want to know what happened and why it happened. Can't change it, but they want to know what happened and why it happened. I don't know that they've truly gotten that. In fact, I'm fairly certain they haven't.
But I don't think that's a piece of the puzzle that Ole Miss wants to go down. I think the entire message is going to be move forward.
Then don't do this. That's my advice. My advice at that point goes back to something else you said. Just do your job. Quit talking and just start doing. If you're going to say, hey, we're going to have this transparent, accessible openness, all right, well, then go for it. Don't half-ass do that. Do the whole thing, or don't do it at all, and quit talking. That's all I'm saying. And that's going to come across as me being a jerk, and I know that. But I don't mean it to be that way. I just mean it real. If you're going to have the conversation where you're open about something, then be all the way open. Or just don't do it. Because there's going to be questions. Were there political influences in hiring Matt Luke? That question's going to get asked. They don't like that question. And I don't blame them. But that's a legitimate question. At this point, you're better off saying, well, maybe. We're glad we did it. We think we got the right guy. There's a way to answer the question honestly and then come back and say, but we like what we did. Don't say, no, he was always the guy. That's not true. That is not a true statement. And when you start off with an untrue statement, no one believes anything from the rest of the thing that you say. So I don't know. I'm curious to see how it works. I have one other criticism, and it's going to sound petty, and I don't mean for it to, but if you're going to do the town hall thing, this is a school that attracts a lot of people from Texas, from Georgia. Drive around Oxford when school's in session. A lot of Georgia plates, a lot of Texas plates. And for the most part, those kids go back to Texas and Georgia when they graduate. And you need those alumni bases.
We know how big Nashville is to us. It is for the school, too.
Has to be. So if you're going to do these town halls, go do one in Nashville. Do one in Atlanta. Do one in Houston. Do one in Dallas. Do it all the way. Reach out to those people. I know that's a little more expensive, but as opposed to cramming them all into a small state. That's petty, and I don't mean for it to be. It's one of the first things that stuck out when I looked at it. Like, there's one in Oxford on a day of a football game, and I think there's a basketball game and a baseball game, I think.
Yeah, the baseball game's at Tulane that day.
Okay.
It's on the road, but, I mean, it has a lot of interest.
And there's a basketball game at home against Georgia, I think.
And Ole Miss is going to take a good crowd in New Orleans that weekend.
So I don't know. It just kind of – that would have been one to maybe do it in New Orleans. I don't know. It's picky. I'm nitpicking, and I'm not trying to, but if you're – It's not probably no one asked me, and that's okay. I certainly didn't want to be asked, but that's not the way I would have probably done it. I would have gone to a medium that I was comfortable with. Maybe it's a super friendly medium that's not going to ask questions, and I would have tried to do it that way and tell it. But maybe that doesn't work. Maybe you want people an opportunity to ask questions, but
I'm skeptical about the number of people that actually ask questions.
Yeah, the people who are going to stand up and say, hey, I really want to know this, and this is something I'm not happy with, and I'm bothered. But the truth is, and here's your problem, is you're trying to get people to buy back in. And for Ole Miss, that means you've got to get the people in Atlanta and Dallas and Houston and Nashville to buy back in. Because all of those people, and I told you this before we started, I don't think you're losing the guy, and I can say this because I grew up in Ruston, Louisiana. I'll give the exact same analogy I gave to Chase. There were Saturday afternoons where we went to football games, Louisiana Tech versus McNeese. Louisiana Tech versus Texas Arlington. Now, was that compelling? Of course not. Was it SEC? Not even close. Why'd we go? Well, there was nothing else to do. And nothing against Clarksdale or Greenwood or Greenville or Batesville or Oxford or Water Valley or Grenada or any other place. I'm not criticizing any of those places. They're wonderful places, but now let's keep it real. On Saturday afternoon, not a whole lot of entertainment options. Is that fair?
Of course, yeah.
So they go to the – you're going to stop going to the games. You're not losing those fans. They're coming because it might as well. But if you live in Houston, you have a decision to make if you live in Dallas or Houston or Nashville or Atlanta – about your entertainment dollar, and in cities like that, you have options. Now, if anybody construes that as negative about Ole Miss, then I can't help myself because I don't think it was. It's just being honest. If you live in Atlanta, well, there are other things you can do with your entertainment dollar. If you live in Clarksdale, you're probably still coming to the games, even if you're pissed off. So why have the media? Have you, I don't know. That's my only criticism. I would have had the meeting. I would have gone to the people that I'm really most worried about. And if you're not worried about losing those people, you're not being real with yourself.
Little update here. If nothing else, I picked a really good podcast question for the day because Mr. McCready's selection with hair is in the lead.
Yes.
52-48.
Closer than I think it would be.
Yeah.
There are probably some bald men that are voting because it makes them feel better. They're probably some.
Oh, no, now you're justifying. Come on. I mean, he just looks better.
Probably some wives of bald men that are voting because they feel guilty because deep down they really miss being able to run their hands through a head full of hair. If I ask Kara right now, hey, what do you think about Chase shaving his head? She'd say, oh, my God, no.
That's not the argument, though.
What's the argument?
This one person, does he look better bald or with hair? One person.
With hair. He's good looking enough to pull off and look presentable as bald, but he does not look as good as he did with hair. If he were bald, he wouldn't have gotten that role in Grease. I promise you that.
Well, it's not 1978. That's not what I'm talking about.
If he were bald, he wouldn't get some of the roles that he got.
Bruce Willis, good-looking dude.
Yeah, but
Jason Statham, good-looking dude.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, fair enough. Actor.
Hey, Bruce Willis is a good-looking dude. He's an outlier.
In this mostly all in this hypothesis that you have, theory, whatever, it's mostly only pertains to white males, right?
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, maybe it's just the darkness. I mean, I look better tan than I do pale as a ghost, but African-American bald men look better than Caucasian bald men. I'm scared to say that because everybody's so race sensitive.
Yeah, but I understand what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, if you're black and that offended you, I'm very, very sorry. I meant it as a compliment. Black men can pull it off better than white men. They look better bald than white men do. But now, even the fitness thing applies to African-Americans as much as it does to Caucasians. I mean, a fit black bald guy, but a fit black bald guy looks better than a fit white bald guy every time.
That's fair. A couple of the comments I've gotten on Twitter. One says he appears to be a man in his 60s who has come to terms with his baldness and made peace with it. Good for him. Fair enough there.
Well, that's fair.
My friend Tyler Nelson says he looks much better now. As Neil can attest, it's slim pickings up top. Just cut it tight, shave it bald. His hair plugs or toupee was off-putting. Though I'm not there yet, one day Father Time will lead me to a pair of clippers, and with a heavy sigh, I'll go with a one guard.
Yeah, and Tyler, once you go with that one guard for a little while, you'll start thinking about a no guard.
The one guard is the training wheels to the situation?
Yeah, it's kind of like when you buy a pair of Blue Delta jeans. Both of my brothers bought a pair of Blue Delta jeans, and I told them, as soon as you get them on, within 3 or 4 days, you're going to be thinking about your next pair. Once you go to that one guard, you're going to do it for a little while. You get used to it, and you'll start thinking, I wonder what would happen if. And then you're on your way. Once that thought crosses your mind, you are on your way to just a good old razor.
I was always worried about it because it's very small, but I have a very tiny mole on the top right portion of my skull. And I thought, gosh, if I go bald, that's going to be really ugly. I'll have to have the mole removed.
Yeah, just have the mole removed.
Although, I mean, knock on wood, I don't think I'm going to lose my hair. I really don't. Now, I'm going to go gray. I'll probably be gray in a couple years.
Yeah, but gray looks good. See, women like gray. It's distinguished.
Yeah, I'm already, like, I got a haircut yesterday, and I can already tell on the sides, I'm really picking up a lot of gray hairs kind of on the sides over my ears.
Like, I'll go 4 or 5 days without shaving sometimes, and it doesn't look good, because I just don't, I would not look good with a beard. I wouldn't look good with anything. But, like, sometimes Laura will say, I like the scruff, and I've realized she likes the scruff because she likes the gray in the scruff. Women like gray. You can pull that off.
My beard's kind of red. It's bad.
So you shave it.
Has a very auburn tint to it.
So you shave every day. Yeah. It's okay. That's my point. With stuff like that, you have choices. Once it goes up top, you don't have many choices. Like the guy, I will say this, bald is so much better than comb over guy.
Well, see, that was kind of what Travolta was doing. He had some plugs or something weird that we could tell was not 1980 John Travolta.
Yeah, you can't cover it up. It's, once it's there, it's there. You gotta, you do, as your friend Tyler said, you do have to embrace it. You at some point have to, not embrace it. You have to accept it. You have to accept it. It's a hard thing to accept. But once you accept it, it's just, it is what it is. But I don't know. And there's a lot of guys, there's guys out there that are going to get mad. You watch. There'll be posts on the board. I'll get tweets or something with, you know, my wife says it's awesome. Well, what choice does she have? I mean, really? I mean, what choice does she have? She's going to look at you honestly and say, I sure wish you had hair. God, I miss a man with hair. Is she really going to do that? That'd be the equivalent of you looking at your wife and saying, God, I miss it when you were thin. How's that going to go over? Be honest with yourself. If you're bald, your wife is looking at men with hair thinking, I miss those days.
I did.
The same way you look at some 20-something-year-old walking down the the concourse at the pavilion and think, I miss those days.
I did love in your mailbag the comparison of Shay and Sean to JD and Joe McCoy from Friday Night Lights.
I laughed out loud for about 10 minutes because it's dead on.
That is really good.
It's really good.
That's great.
It's really good.
All right. Let's see what we got coming up. We got basketball tonight. Plenty of coverage of that at rebelgrove.com. Really, really good content day. So go check out the Rich Rodriguez piece if you haven't. The mailbag, the podcast, tons of things at rebelgrove.com.
Before we go, Chase, let me tell you, this podcast has been brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. OUB also offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances, up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. Or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
I thought I had some news, but I don't. It was a false alarm. So, yeah, we'll have another podcast tomorrow. Don't have an exact guest list yet, but I think I have a clue, but I hate overpromising. So let's stay with it for now. Maybe an update later in the day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.